All right, what is up, folks? On the fly, without Mike tonight, I have a special guest joining me, who I think you guys all know. But before I bring him on, I'm going to just bring him on in style, and then we'll have a little fun tonight.
There's a song I wrote called Honey Bunny Dundo.
Joe.
That was awesome.
How are you?
I love that intro. That was great.
I spent some time digging through your old YouTube videos today thinking, okay, I gotta pull some good stuff out. That was your first video on your channel, right?
Honey Bunny Dundo was it? Like, what? Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was that or Rebecca Black's Friday.
Oh my goodness. What the heck? So you got New York immediately leaves. That's amazing. So tell me, how in the world did you start your channel? Because you wanted to put music videos out there? Is that why you did it?
No, I created an account. I used to be in a band growing up, and I learned how to play the guitar. And I learned how to play like three or four chords. Okay. And, you know, if you learn three or four chords on a guitar, you could pretty much play like hundreds, thousands of songs.
For sure.
And I wrote that song that you just played, Honey Bunny Dundo. Like my guitar teacher was like, see if you could write something. So I wrote this horrible song. And it makes no sense, by the way. It makes absolutely no sense. But it was fun, and I recorded it, and I was like, well, I gotta, you know, see if I think I wanted to share it with one of my buddies. So I was like, you know what, I'll record it and then put it on YouTube, and then I could share it with them. And the rest,
there you have it.
Yeah, but no,
the rest is history.
Yeah, like when I started this channel, I obviously had no thought of it being a baseball card channel. The name of my channel, Silver Jack, is a cartoon that me and my brother created. So
I dig it. Yeah. Well, your versatility continues to impress me. Well, thank you for joining. Mike is obviously not here for On the Fly with Mike and Ty, and we thought you'd be the perfect fill-in for our weekly show. So thank you for being available.
I just tonight. Noticed this, what you put down here. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, that was one of my favorite thumbnails you had, so I had to go click the video and watch it. I'm like, it's too good.
I think I actually did a video at one point in that costume and showed off some baseball cards in that costume. If you go deep into the archive, you'll find
all it. Right, when I'm very very bored, I'll go deep into your archives. Well, thank you folks for jumping on. A couple shout outs real quick. Four Leaf, hey, what's up? Straight Execution, still one of my favorite names there. It took me a while to get that right. I don't know if you've had to pronounce that yet. Jay, of course, hey. Andrew, what's up? Card and comments. Metal song about the difference between air cards and printing variation drops.
Error cards. No, I'm not gonna do that.
I wish air cards would make a comeback. Outside of like the forced air cards and heritage.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I would like, I made a video about it a couple of years ago, like saying like, you know, maybe, you know, doing top 10 air cards and, you know, and suggested, I was like, you know, like with the explosion of the hobby, I wonder if air cards will pick up. And that definitely did not come to fruition at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Indie Shack beat me to this. I was thinking about, okay, how do we change the name? And you and I were texting. It's On the Fly with Jackify and Ty.
Nice.
Or Ty and Jackify. I feel like it has a good, pretty good rhyme.
Yeah, I think Mike's going to have to take a seat for a while, because that's too good of a name not to go with. Or even if Mike's on, you'll probably just leave that name.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, he's on spring break with his family, so hopefully he's having a good time. For all we know, he'll pop in here. So Is this about cards or no? Yes, it'll be about cards. Let's talk a little bit about cards. We have a lot on the agenda tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball, football. We have our top 10 purchases, our sales on eBay. We're going to break those down together. And then you and I are going to talk about a pretty big topic that I think everyone will engage with a little bit. But we'll get to that here in a second. So let's start with this. MLB trades are going crazy. Were you surprised by Freeman not coming back to the Braves with the Olsen trade today?
Yeah, I honestly was. I thought Freddie Freeman, it was one of those things where, you know, it all kind of plays out in the media and then eventually he just signs with the team that you all kind of expect him to. But, you know, the fact that the Braves made that trade, I think was saying to me that they tried to do what they could to get Freddie Freeman and it just wasn't going to happen. So they were like, you know what, let's save face and get Matt Olson, who, by the way, might be better than Freddie Freeman.
I know.
He's really, really, like, if you look at his numbers, he's younger than Freddie Freeman. If you look at his numbers, I've been talking about Matt Olson being one of the most underrated players in all of baseball for a long time now. So maybe by him coming to the Braves, he'll start to get his due. By the way, if you have cards of Matt Olson, maybe now's the time to pick him up because he's young. He hit 39 home runs last year, 110 plus RBIs. And so he could, you know, and you can get his cards for super cheap. So you wonder if that's going to be good for his card values. But I was very surprised by the fact that the Braves did not sign Freddie Freeman because I thought he was a lifer with the Braves.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, you can go grab his 2017 Topps Chrome Refractor rookie and PSA 10 for 170.
Right.
Which is crazy. And I bet that pop is really low on that card. I'm sure it's not graded very often.
Yep. Yeah. And it makes it's interesting too with Freddie Freeman. Cause so now who's in the mix for signing Freddie Freeman? Because if he signs with the Dodgers or the Yankees, that'll probably help card values for Freddie Freeman. But we'll see. You know, the Yankees definitely need a first baseman, and they have done absolutely nothing this offseason, so it would not surprise me at all. I feel like the Yankees are waiting, and, you know, don't be surprised if the Yankees sign Freddie Freeman over the next couple of days. Yesterday's trade was just a little taste of them getting back into the mix.
For sure. Yeah. So you got Correa, have some, obviously you have, who else? You got Jock Peterson, you got Schorber, you got Freeman, of course. There's a few real big names that are going to pop in the next few days that could make like massive differences, not just in like on teams, but in the hobby, like depending where they go. Good or bad.
Right. And Trevor Story is another big name. Yankees. Story. There was a lot of talk about the Yankees going out and getting Trevor Story and Carlos Correa, but I don't think that's going to happen after the trade that they made yesterday. Yeah. And I think the Yankees really like, I think what this says about the Yankees, by the way, is that they must really like Volpe. So if you have, for those of you that went, all in on Volpe, this just solidified that to me, that the Yankees think of him as the next big thing. Because I don't look at the guy that they got from the Twins as their long-term solution. So I do like Donaldson, though. It'll be interesting to see. The Yankees just got Josh Donaldson, 36, a little bit older, but he's a really good hitter. So.
A lot older. A whole lot older.
Yeah.
36.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh.
He's a good, really good hitter, though.
He's very good. He's super underrated.
Yeah. Right.
Like, he's never going to get hobby love because he's not like super good at one thing, but he's a pretty darn good hitter. That's for sure.
Yeah.
There are a lot of great comics in here. By the way, I'm assuming that's either Tyson or Mike on the Bench Clear account making comments. Jeez. Spurs cars, what's up? Otto coming in hot. He told Matt Olson at a minor league game Quad Cities, he was okay, but his name was spelled wrong. Spell with an E, Matt. Come on. Yeah, no doubt, right? $170 used to be expensive.
Yes.
For a PSA 10 rookie card.
Right, right. Yeah, it's kind of sad that, you know, you talk about going to the National, like, you can't go to the National with, like, $100. You won't be able to buy anything.
Oh, my gosh, no kidding. Dodgers, yeah, exactly. Freddie is an L.A. guy. I did not know he was an L.A. guy. So, are Dodgers in play for him right now?
Yes.
I haven't. Okay, yeah. So it's, yeah, okay, that makes more sense.
The Yankees and I think the Dodgers are probably the leading candidates for Freddie Freeman at this point, but there are a couple other teams that are in the mix. I think I heard the Blue Jays might be in the mix. There's a couple of teams that are in the mix for
basically like, I'm so sad. I'm heartbroken. Oh, really? The Braves let me go. And I'm thinking, trust me, there's a lot of people in the hobby that are heartbroken that you got traded as well to the dungeon known as the Oakland A's.
Yeah, that's not really good for his hobby. Like,
if
you have him, if you went all in on collecting him, good luck. Yeah, good luck with that.
Good luck. Oh, look who it is. Our in-house CPA. Yanks, yep. Lou Rock, what's going on? Yeah, what are you drinking there?
Stout? Yeah, Guinness. Guinness, it's probably my favorite beer. It's just good old fashioned Guinness. How about yourself?
What am I drinking? Fresh squeezed IPA.
Nice.
The Shoots.
That's good.
They're out in Oregon. Yeah.
Happy St. Patty's Day, everyone, by the way.
There you go. Mike doesn't know prospects. Come on. So that's Tyson, and that's a perfect segue. Tyson, we're going to bring you on real quick because we're going to talk a little football for a second. Tyson, what's going on?
What's going on? Yeah, come on. Mike doesn't know the prospects. That's what I do. How's it going?
Well, our heads are getting squeezed, but we still have plenty of space. All right, man. Tyson, what's up? Host of our favorite football card podcast. What the heck? Tom Brady coming back. How important is that for the hobby?
Oh, I don't know. It's really that important for the hobby. I think I put in my show because I did my show this weekend right before he announced he's coming back. And I said that it's going to be interesting to see what the prices look like without that huge $16,000 guy at the top. But now we have to weather that a little bit longer in the active rookie report. So I don't think it really changes much in terms of the landscape of rookie cards, really, because, I mean, he's above and beyond everybody. He's untouchable when it comes to the quarterback position, as we all know. So he's just that guy in the sky that we'll keep looking at until he's gone.
Yeah. What do you think, Joe? Was it good for the hobby that he came back? I personally think it was good.
Yeah. I mean, well, as a owner of the Bowman Chrome rookie card, I definitely was happy. Well, I mean, like, I figure the more he plays, the more he can accomplish. And just, you know, and every time he accomplishes something, it's going to just cause his cards to go up. I don't really know if it affects the rest of the hobby, but I do think that if you own Brady cards, that's only going to make his cards go up, is him achieving more and staying in the spotlight. So I did notice, I don't know if you guys noticed, but his card did come down a little bit after he announced, like, initially it went up when he retired, but they were starting to come down a little bit. But now, you know, if he starts having another great year with the Buccaneers, which I'm assuming he will, his cards will, you know, go up again, and he'll have another shot at another Super Bowl. I think if you own Brady cards, it'll be good. The only guy that came to mind was Aaron Rodgers. Like, I wonder, does that, like, affect his prices negatively? Because, like, I there was something about him being, like, the veteran, like, the best veteran quarterback now that Brady was gone, that maybe he kind of take on a new spotlight there. So that was the only guy that I thought maybe could be negatively impacted a little bit, but Brady cards, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think for the best part about Brady is it keeps the competitive balance. I think the AFC is loaded with quarterbacks right now, and I think Brady staying in the NFC and just keeping another team relevant, because Tampa Bay would not be relevant if they didn't have him. So it's one more team that we have to keep our eyes on. But I think Rodgers, actually, in my opinion, we'll see what happens, but I think the Green Bay fans were holding their breath and they weren't buying him for a while because they thought he's going to be out. So now that he's back in Green Bay, I think that big fan base might be, okay, we're good to buy our Rodgers rookie cards again. So I think that does matter, holding your breath. I mean, they've seen Favre go to the Vikings and killed their heart, you know, different things like that. So I think there's a little bit of tentative Packer fans for sure on Rodgers.
Yeah, I have to ask you guys, did you see that? I'm sure everyone heard about it, but the ball that somebody bought Tom Brady's last touchdown for like over $500,000.
Yeah, the last touchdown, that's so sad for that
guy. Oh, there you go.
I was gonna talk about it. And I saw some folks in the hobby were saying Brady should come out and basically buy that ball back because this guy got screwed on the deal. I'm thinking, right. I don't really agree with that, but
yeah.
How awful is that?
Well, like
the day after.
Part of me doesn't feel bad for that guy. Like why would you spend $500,000+ and you knew he had to have known that there was a chance that he was going to come back.
Oh yeah.
And the funny thing is it just like, it was literally just purchased. So do you think the guy, like, I'd love to know whether he actually pays and like what the fall, like, I think what really sucks is the guy that was trying to sell that football. Because I have a feeling the person that won that auction is never going to pay.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, that ball's worth.
The guy's deflated now.
Yeah.
That is perfect. Good job, Otto. That's well played.
Well done. Is his PSA 10 Chrome at 16K right now?
Yep. It's just above. He's from start to finish, he was about $300 difference from preseason to now. And it was 15,800 and it was 16,100 the last one I pulled for my show. So yeah, he's been pretty, 16K is pretty much a sweet spot for him with some highs and lows.
Crazy. Is that what you have? Is that the card you have?
Yeah. Joe? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bought it like around three, about like early last year.
Nice.
It was like right, you know, it was like March, like right as prices were really starting to surge.
After his Super Bowl Tampa Bay, you bought it at three?
It was before he, so it was maybe like not last year, but the year before that.
Okay. Yeah. Like so after that Tampa Bay Super Bowl, it went crazy.
But, right. Yeah. Right. No, I bought it March of the year that he won the Super Bowl.
Nice. So, well done.
Yeah.
There you go.
One of my, everyone's got their wins and their losses. That was one of my wins.
For sure. Yeah. Leland's won't comment if funds have been received yet. So there you go.
Yeah,
insider info.
Yeah.
That's so true here. No such thing as a poor guy if he can afford $500,000 on the football. Yeah, it's true. Why are we feeling sorry for that guy?
I think I feel sorry for him because he's the butt of a joke, not because of the money he lost. It's more.
Yeah. Yeah. Very fair. Very fair. What else happens? So free agent market opens in what, 48 hours, less than 48 hours for NFL. What are the big moves you're looking for, Tyson?
I mean, it's just been a flurry so far. I mean, there's already a bunch of pre-signings, a lot of guys getting overpaid. Seems like the Jags are trying to make a big splash just around Lawrence with some guys, which has been good. A lot of O-line going that way. They overpaid Christian Kirk quite a bit. It's going to be tough for the Packers to afford Devontae Adams if they're going to play Christian Kirk that money. But different stuff like that. I think just in general, there's not like a ton of awesome free agents. So it's kind of some small splashes here. And this is where it gets weird, the NFL, where they overspend on guys that aren't really worth the money. So I think it's a matter of who doesn't overspend as much. And I think the Jags are overspending quite a bit. So we'll kind of see what happens. But I'm happy they got Scherf. Scherf's a big help to the O-line for the Jags. And then also they got, I think, a center from Tampa Bay or something. They could send a couple good O-line, which is all I'm caring about is a Lawrence guy. Lawrence is a buy for me. And so I want the O-line improved for him. And the Bengals, I want the O-line improved for Burrow. It's kind of the two things I'm watching. So.
Joe, what are you looking for? You're relatively into football, right? Is that the first statement?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for me,
you're indifferent. I get it.
It's baseball season.
Yeah. You
know, I've been waiting for, I don't know, 5 months for any type of baseball activity. So it's for me, it's been MLB Network all day, every day.
Definitely.
I didn't know that Christian Kirk. So Christian Kirk is with the Packers now.
Jaguars. Yeah, Jaguars signed him for about almost $20 million a year. So not great numbers for a receiver three or four on the Cardinals. But Trubisky, the Steelers, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Not sure if it's for a backup role or a starting role. You know, still have the draft to get through. But, you know, yeah. See what Trubisky learned anything from Josh Allen or not. But, I mean, the fact is he did not play a lick from last year. So the idea that his stock is up is interesting because he hasn't done anything. But
help me out. Who are the Giants going to take in this draft, you know?
In the draft. Yeah. they're drafting pretty high. It seems like they're really looking O-line to try to get something built from the inside out. It's kind of what I'm seeing for them.
Have you heard it? Like, I guess they're going with Daniel Jones.
I mean, they kind of have to with his, you know, he's into that as option. So we'll see what they're going to do with him in terms of his fifth year option, but he's pretty much, yeah, it's kind of make or break for him for sure.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. Viewers are falling off rapidly after you brought the Giants. Thank you for that, Joe.
I got to see if my Giants have any shot. But I
you guys talk offline about that, okay?
That's fine.
Jeez, I'm kidding. Oh, look who's in the house. Mike, baseball collector, on spring break. Yeah. Who makes – well, okay, so obviously everyone knows Drew Lock. You know, got traded to the Seahawks. That was the big splash, I feel like, in the offseason. Seahawks going all out to get Drew Lock, giving Giants up Russell Wilson.
We're going Giants to Drew Lock, Ty. And you're, come on, man. I was going to send you a link. I saw the – do you see that the NFL shop has Drew Lock number 3 Seattle Seahawks jerseys already up?
Are you serious?
Number 3. So not Russell Wilson 3, but now Drew Lock 3.
Dang.
That's pretty crazy to me. But
that is pretty crazy. Oh, my gosh. Where does Deshaun Watson go? What do you guys take? Folks watching, where do you think he goes?
He rejected his interview with Seattle, so it's not there. So your Lock idea is safe for now. But I think Panthers is a really strong play. They have pretty good receivers, pretty good things around. And I think what's happening is a lot of places he wants to go, the Texans won't do. I heard that he had a lot of interest in the Colts, and they said no way in our division. Yeah. So I'm kind of leaning Panthers. There's rumors Eagles are trying to throw the house at it, but I don't think that'll happen. So I'm going Panthers.
Joe, what do you think? You have any takes on that? That's the biggest splash to me. Whatever happens there, I think it changes things a little bit. The fact in your last your episode that just came out a couple days ago, he's the only quarterback that did not decrease in value.
Right.
Tells you like the state of the hobby. I mean, we were texting back and forth. He's getting like the prospect treatment, right? The unknown element of Deshaun Watson has kept his prices up.
Right. I have one Deshaun Watson card, so I could still sell it, and it's not worthless yet.
Yep. No, it's going to keep growing. I probably, when he signs somewhere too, or he gets cleared, he'll definitely probably pump up some more. But it was funny to watch. I told Ty that there was 17 Deshaun Watson cards sold the day after he was exonerated from his charges and said, like, he wasn't going to prison type of thing. Wow. So everybody's just like, sweet, we're all in. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, even the Panthers, you know, if he goes the Panthers, he's in Tom Brady's division. So it's not going to be super easy for him either way.
He is a hell of a talent. So it makes sense. You know, if you can get a guy like him, you know, like the Panthers that need a quarterback, why not go for it? So
right.
For sure. Okay. Well, I'm going to show you guys the top 12 sales on eBay. Tyson, before I let you go, we're going to talk through these real quick. And I want you guys to tell me which ones are surprising to you. These are all graded cards sold in the last 8 days on eBay, sorted by highest sold price.
Sweet.
Let me see if I can show the three of us.
Yeah, you're going to need to zoom in a little bit on that.
that's the best you're going to get right there.
All right.
So you got $58,000 for a 51 Bowman PSA 8. We have a Luka Doncic Blue Prism rookie for $54. Messi for $53. I don't know why the heck that's sorted like that. It's interesting. It's like the shipping charge was like $43,000. Lewis Hamilton cracking the top four with a $43,000 sell.
What?
Burt Corbeau. I'm going to be honest. I don't know who Burt Corbeau is, and that's a not redeemed card. What the heck?
1923.
National Treasure, Deshaun Watson. Wow.
There you go. Number six, Deshaun Watson. There's a Babe Ruth at seven. Ty Cobb, Josh Allen, Christian Hernandez, a Mike Trout. It's a lot, though. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo. Any one of those stand out to you as surprising that they're in the top 12 here?
I guess that Christian Hernandez is a lot. Two orange auto. That's still, I think, pretty high for Christian Hernandez just because, you know, the prospecting is hard to put them in the top 10 like that. I mean, Deshaun Watson's obviously pretty high too, especially if you're comparing it to Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle's. I'm going to go ahead and give Mike some good praise here that these really low pop vintage guys seem like it's kind of a slam dunk compared to some of these new age ones, but that's just kind of my early impression.
What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, like the first one that, so I don't know what the deal is with the 1923 Burt Corbeau. I'm not honestly, like, as a pretty big baseball fan, I'm not familiar with him. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mike can call me out and say, like, I should know him, but I don't know him. So if he's a baseball guy, then that's pretty shocking to see a card of his for $42,000.
Yeah.
But beyond that, obviously, to see a race car driver on there at $43,000 for a 20, I don't know. Like, that's a little shocking for me. Like, that never would have happened a couple of years ago. Yeah. Now there's F1 car racing cards, but it's surprising, but it's not surprising because yep. car racing is so incredibly popular in this country. I guess it goes to show that more different types of people are getting into the hobby, because, you know, the baseball card collectors that, you know, were collecting a couple of years ago would never buy a Lewis Hamilton for $43,000.
Right.
And then the other, like, people paying $31,000 for a Christian Hernandez orange refractor, like,
hockey player.
That is purely a game of hot potato. It's like, who's going to be holding those Christian Hernandez the longest, and whoever ends up holding it the longest will end up be out $31,000.
Right. I'm losing. Yeah.
Right. So yep. I would assume that whoever bought that is probably looking to sell it, you know, over the next six to 12 months. There's no long-term hold there. Like, that's a short-term play.
Yeah. With the hopes that he keeps climbing, but definitely. Ty, what's the pop on Giannis's silver? It seems like a pretty high for just a silver rookie. Maybe just it's as an super older
low.
Year.
It's super low. Yeah, and 13, 14, that the silvers were not easy to find.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's a pretty, I don't want to say reasonably priced, but for an all-time great, I think you could argue now, there's probably less than 100 of those, less than 200 of those.
Yeah.
If money was no object, which one of these do you buy?
Wow. That's like, well, it's easy. I obviously I'd like to take a closer look at the 51 Mantle, the Ruth, yeah. and the Cobb, but those would be the only three choices that there is to make, in my opinion.
Oh man, it's tough. I think I'd definitely be interested in a Babe Ruth personally. But I think if I'm going through my roots with football, I think Josh Allen's going to be fine long-term. And if he gets a Super Bowl, if he gets Super Bowl in Buffalo, they're going to go nuts. And that could go a lot higher. So Josh Allen might be my kind of sneaky pay. A gold auto out of 10 is pretty attractive. And I think he's gonna be around for a long time. He just seems like a warrior. It's not going to fade off. It's pretty yep. confident in his abilities at this point.
Interesting. Well, I would love to know what's in that Mike Trout lot. It looks like there's at least six cards. Yeah. I would probably be going after that Mike Trout lot because I think he's maybe the most undervalued current player right now in the hobby.
That's a great point, Ty. I like that. I like no, that. I think that Trout is a great buy right now.
Yeah. Ty, if he gets hurt next year, though. Oh, sorry, Joe. Sure. If he gets hurt next year, do you change that?
Yes. But you know what? Getting six sweet cards for 30K is probably not, it's not awful.
No, they read that they're kind of saying they're going to keep him in center. And a lot of people want them to kind of DH him more and keep him healthy. Yep. And there's this battle of him playing defense, hitting and staying healthy. And it just seems like they want to keep him 100% throttled, which I think people are nervous about. So I'm curious to see how he shakes out. I want him to be great. I like Trout a lot. I just want him to be healthy.
Yeah. It reminds me a little, like right now reminds me a little bit of like the, there was a time this year where Patrick Mahomes kind of like his prices came down. People were starting to second guess like his greatness. And then sure enough, he became Patrick Mahomes again and yep. the cards took off. And I kind of feel like this is kind of that opportunity with Mike Trout as people for whatever reason have already forgotten how amazingly good he is. And his cards are really low right now. So I think it would be, you know, right now, now, obviously, if he gets hurt, that we have a totally different conversation. But if he does what he's capable of doing, this will be the lowest that you'll be able to get him at.
Yeah,
yeah. Good point there by Ziggy. It is unfortunate the Prism rookie autos are stickers. That does, and it's just one of the It's one of the biggest misses I think Panini made on their flagship brand.
Definitely. But unfortunately, that's still their flagship brand. That's still going to be very true. Still their top. And it's still an auto. I mean, it's not our favorite, of course, but
yeah.
I mean, we'll see what his flawless stuff does, but yeah.
Yeah, very true. If Trout has a great year, PSA 10 will go from 3K to 5K. I could not agree more. I think that is that's probably the range it moves in. That's a 50, 40% move almost immediately. Especially if the Angels are playing well,
yep.
It's even a bigger accelerator if you ask me.
Yep. Yeah. Him and Ohtani doing it together. Like they said, a lot of people are joking around saying they're extending the playoffs to get the Angels in so they can have Ohtani and Trout in the playoffs.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Get them, get some more teams in there so they get more exposure.
It's starting to get to a point where like every team gets into the playoffs.
Yeah. Which I think is kind of unfortunate with baseball, in my opinion, because the baseball is the right. Length of the season should tell you enough, but that's another story.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm not letting you go yet, Tyson, because we're talking baseball players here. So Betts and Bellinger, you guys agree rebound season potential? If not, who else are you looking for rebounds?
I think, go ahead. Go, Joe. You got it.
I'm a little worried about Bellinger. I didn't understand what happened to him last year. It was sort of like, you know, and he's got that like kind of crazy wheelhouse swing that, you know, you wonder like, did he lose it? Betts, I'm not worried about. I think he's one of the best. He's the most talented, one of the most talented players in all of baseball. Like, you know, he's one of those guys that's good at everything. You know, like I guess I heard he's like an incredible bowler too. I don't know, one of those guys just like he's just incredibly talented. But Bellinger, I'd be a little bit, I don't know. I don't know. He just had a bad year for no reason. And it was like a really bad year.
Yeah. I think Betts for sure. I think kind of a bounce back. I think his was just more of just kind of nicked up last year. I think Trey Turner's going to be good for him. Seeing them both top lineups would be good. Bellinger, I want to do great, but I just still think he's just not the best guy there anymore. He was for a little bit. And I just think he's at best their third best player. So either way, I think that'll kind of hurt his hobby potential. One guy kind of high on, and I know it's a pitcher, but I think Shane Bieber, just him coming back to getting formed, his 13, 14K per nine rate and just being lights out. He's really cheap right now for a pitcher that could be a Hall of Famer. He has crazy numbers if he can just sustain. I know that's always a big if, but we're pretty big fan on Shane Bieber on the baseball talk we've been having.
Is he 18 update?
He is 18 update. Yep. Okay. He's in the Cunha Soto realm. Yep.
Yeah. Cause I was looking a few months ago, like you can get his golds for dirt cheap, relatively speaking. Right. Oh, yeah. That's just a primo card for a top rookie.
For sure. His PSA 10 rainbow foil tie, my buddy picked up for 40 or something, 55 or something on my slabs. Just nuts.
Ziggy, there you go. Thanks for the reminder. Yeah, hit the thumbs up helps the algo thingy. it does. If you smash the thumbs up button, as they all say, that would be awesome. Okay, so you guys will be proud of me because I'm putting my money where my mouth is to a certain extent. I've been touting the whole Trey Turner thing for a long time. So I've been this offseason trying to grab Trey Turner rookies, but I grabbed my first PSA 10 Sapphire rookie.
There you go.
Nice.
And I haven't gotten it in yet. I just bought it, but I cannot wait to see it. I've always kind of been hesitant of going in on Sapphire stuff, but those were numbered his rookie year. The rookies weren't numbered years after, I believe, right? I think they're only to 299.
Oh yeah,
no, I just bought it. But so that, to me, it seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Sapphire rookies just in general. I think they're great cards. They're even in Bowman, I think they're just great cards because they're short printed. They're very hard to get. Like they're very limited in terms of like in Bowman's 32 cards per box. It's 450 a box. So I really think that the Sapphires are going to be a great long-term hold for sure.
Yeah, for me, one of the things that I'm looking forward to is some big rookies coming up this year. Because you got Adley Rutschman, you got Wander Franco's, kind of second year, Julio Rodriguez. Yeah, we might see Bobby Witt this year.
Bobby Witt.
We might see Spencer Torkelson at some point this year. So there's a lot of pretty awesome names coming up. And so if you like Sapphire, I've been getting into the Bowman draft Sapphire. stuff. And you can, you know, some of these guys that are kind of coming up, like I picked up two Spencer Torkelson Sapphire cards, raw, one for about 150 a piece. And, you know, like leading up to their call up to the majors, that's going to just drive up prices on those cards. So if you can kind of get them a little early now and then, you know, sell them when they, you know, if you're interested in that kind of thing, you know, when they do get, like when Spencer Torkelson gets called up, it's going to be like, it's going to be huge. Yeah, and yeah. I think he's going to be a big name. You know, Tigers have needed somebody for a while now, and he's like a, you know, power hitting first baseman. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, I think him and hopefully they space him and Riley Green out so they can both get their time in the sunshine. But yeah,
Riley Green's another great name. Yeah,
yeah. There's some other guys that are coming up quite a bit. Definitely, I think the Sapphires, like you said, though, I think Sapphires, they're just beautiful too. I think that they just look great. Like they're just awesome looking cards, especially the blue ones. I'm a big fan for sure. The 2018, I think, Ty, like Devers blue, Cucuña's is blue. All those guys have those blue Sapphires and they're low pop. They're fun.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, this year has the potential to be one of the best classes we've seen in a while, maybe 2018-esque. Right. You know, if we have, especially if a guy like Bobby Witt comes up, and I'm a little partial to Bobby Witt, obviously being a Royals guy, but he carries a lot of weight in the hobby right now. Yep. If he came up in like series two or update with two premier names.
Yep.
And then, Torkelson and all the rest of those guys, man, my goodness, it could be really fun.
I know a lot of the people that were kind of going early on Chrome for next year were getting nervous with the lockout. So hopefully it got taken care of fast enough so that those guys come up appropriately so we can get them in Chrome. I think that Chrome class could be a monster with all those guys. Whew.
Chrome is going to be a beast. What else are you guys buying? Joe, you and I were talking offline. I'll let you talk. You speak first. What are you looking for? You're probably putting out thousands of videos on this, but what are the sneaky buys? What are the guys you're excited about?
So, you know, I've been kind of one extreme or the other extreme. So my main goal, I was mentioning to you, is saving up for the National. So I'm trying to I have like a certain amount of money that I'm just sort of storing away for the National. But then in the meantime, I got to buy something. So my one extreme that I mentioned is prospecting, which I was just mentioning. I mean, just kind of having fun learning about the guys, you know, the Marcelo Mayers and, you know, the names like that. Just trying to getting familiar with the guys in the 2021 MLB class. And, you know, some of the guys I mentioned, Spencer Torkelson. But then the other extreme is I've been focusing a lot on, you know, high grade vintage of like Hall of Famers that maybe are not like, maybe like a 10th year Willie Mays in like a high grade, or, you know, recently picked up a card that has from the early 70s in a PSA 8 that has Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, and Hank Aaron all on one card in a PSA 8. So like a really nice, like near mint, beautiful card of like, you know, a vintage, a card from the 70s. Of three of the greatest players of all time. And then I picked up a similar card to that, has Harmon Killebrew, Mickey Mantle, and Willie Mays all on the same card. Got that in a PSA 9. So that's been my kind of strategy, is like some of these iconic cards have gotten really expensive, but you can still pick up like high grade, like the Willie Mays. I picked up a Willie Mays OPG. I forget what year it is, but OPG and a PSA 8 for like $300. Mm. And the cool thing is like OPG makes it really rare, because it's, you know, if you look at the tops, it's already rare because it's a 70s card in an 8. But then on top of that, it's an OPG, so that's even rarer. So I don't know. Some of these, I feel like there's some still really good opportunities in vintage for like some of these, you know, legends. Maybe not so much on their iconic cards, but more on like, you know, their later cards. So,
yeah, I have a follow-up question to that. Before I do that though, what are you looking for, Tyson? What are you grabbing?
I'm going all in on Drew Locke. I've been really just pushing that
you're so good.
No, I've been buying, you know, I'm getting in on the Kobe Bryant dip a bit. I think Kobe Bryant's down a little bit and he's my PC. So I've been, picked up his Bowman's best PSA 10 rookie from a trade with a good friend of mine, stuff like that. I think football wise, Jonathan Taylor and Herbert, kind of got Herbert when all the eyes are on Burrow. So picked up a green velocity Herbert, picked up a
Optic Blue, Jonathan Taylor out of 150. Just trying to pick. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be RB1 next year, so I'm going to kind of just watch for him to get all that fantasy momentum and look to kind of see where that price is preseason. Baseball-wise, sticking to my Mariner guys for the most part, like Julio Rodriguez and all that kind of stuff, but they're kind of outpriced. So in terms of the guys I'm getting in on, I've been actually looking at like Kyle Tucker quite a bit. I think he's just kind of in that position where he's kind of past the trash can gate group. Him and Yordan, I think, are both undervalued. And if they can kind of take that team over and get rid of that idea of trash can group, I think I'll be happy with them. And then, like I said, Shane Bieber a little bit, and trying to think of a prospect I've really been going for. I'm pretty big on Nick Gonzalez for Pittsburgh as well. So kind of some guys I'm looking at.
Nice, nice. So I've been grabbing, I think basketball is very undervalued right now. I don't know what happened, but people went crazy for basketball 18 months ago. And then like the air was let out of the excitement and basketball prices plummeted. And you can get really good Hall of Famer rookies like Kevin Durant, PSA 10 or BGS 9.5s for super cheap. And so I've been snagging that stuff. I grabbed a Kevin Durant finest refractor rookie, an Embiid PSA 10 prism rookie for like $450. And then the guy that I think is still the most undervalued basketball player is Nikola Jokic, man. I got a prism Ruby Wave PSA 10 number to 350 rookie for $1,500. He might win MVP back-to-back years. And you can get a numbered PSA 10 prism colored rookie of his for $1,500. I thought it was just a steal.
So why is that?
He's a center. Yeah. Right? He's kind of one of those guys, unless you pay attention to that market, you don't realize his greatness. But the dude is just spectacular. If you watch a couple Nuggets games, you just sit back and are amazed at how like unbelievably gifted he is.
His game IQ is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are what I've been tracking down. I'm curious, Joe, and I guess for you too, Tyson, when you're grabbing these high grade Hall of Famers, are you grabbing them to throw in your PC, or do you think there are opportunities for you to flip a couple years from now? Kind of how are you viewing those purchases? Because I know you do both.
These are all for the personal collection. My whole thing is I try to sell my most of my modern stuff. If I'm going to sell, I sell my modern stuff. But when I like, if it's vintage high grade of the greats, that's more for my personal collection. But you know, the beauty is if I do need to sell it, I could easily do it. You mentioned Ty, by the way, one thing that, Julius Erving, I've been trying to get a good, like, I've had my eye on a high-grade Julius Erving rookie, which I think should be much more expensive than it is. And to your point, I don't know if you have any other legends in basketball, but that I don't know, something about that, the bright yellow in that card that I like, I gravitate to, and I'm like, I gotta get that card. So yeah, that's been on my radar lately.
Same. I just grabbed a Pete Maravich rookie. I shouldn't say just a couple months ago, in a BGS 6.5 or something, and Some of those all-timers are just stupid cheap. When a guy like, I mean, John Morant's outstanding, right? But a guy like John Morant with his Pop Report of 15,000 is more expensive than Pete Maravich.
Right.
Something's wrong.
Yes. You know?
Something is wrong.
Yeah. I guess for me, older cards, low pop of guys that I watch just stay with me. I just think they're just like with Kobe, that's going to stay with me. I picked up a couple cheap John Elway rookies last week and a Deion Sanders rookie. All those things, they're not big flippers. They're because they're 1990s, so there's just not much value there, but they're just fun cards to own. So for me, when it comes to that older cards, like, and I do want to keep trickling back to like a Jim Brown and a Walter Payton, especially I'm talking to Ryan on my show, to kind of keep building up those all-time greats. I think it's just a fun thing to do as a sports fan. So those things will stay with me long-term until I don't want my kids to sell them off to someone else.
Exactly.
So,
all right. Lots of questions here. I can't get into the Monty Club. Are you in the Montgomery Club? Either of you?
No.
Yep. I'm not either. I missed it this past year. So I don't know. Does anyone else know the answer to that question? Will they open it again this year? I'm going to guess they don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like they open it up every year, but it's just impossible. Like, unless you have a bot,
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Last year they opened it up, but it was like no one could actually get in.
Right.
So it was like it was pointless.
Right.
Does PSA detract from the grade of a card if the serial number foil is partially missing? Yes, they do. They would consider that a surface issue, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
So as much as he's hyped, Wander is the real deal, in my opinion. You guys agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think, yeah, for sure. He's carrying one product by himself because he is.
Because people think he is.
I'll tell you what, I like Wander Franco better than any rookie from 2021.
Wow, that's what a giant leap you made there.
I would say I'd go back to even 2020. I'd give him 2 years.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Like 2020, what you like
Bichette, Robert,
Jordan Alvarez.
Yeah,
you're probably right.
Bichette's tough because I'm a big Bichette guy.
I am too. I love Bichette as well. So
Luis Robert could be legit too. He came back smoking last year. Yeah. I guess real quick on that. I don't even know what Zero Cool is, guys. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
Recent sale on Zero Cool.
Is that a like a?
Oh, it must be a crypto thing. NFT.
Yeah, you lost me an NFT.
I hard pass all that, so I know I'm missing the boat.
Yeah. Or are you, right? Those things have been just getting crushed. Attended a small hotel show, 50 tables. I would consider it a large show. Brady House and Julio Hernandez seem to be the hot rookies.
Julio Hernandez? I'm not sure that is. Brady House is a big – he's only a base card in 2021 Bowman draft. No auto yet, but he's kind of that guy that they kind of dangled at the hobby. So that's going to –
That's probably Julio Rodriguez then, right? That's what I'm guessing he's talking about.
I would guess, yeah.
Yep. 2021 Bowman's Best Bobby Witt. So did you guys see the Bowman's Best Super Fractor of Wander Franco sold today or yet last night for $55,000?
The what was it? Oh, his Bowman Best one?
The Super, yeah. Wander
Super. Did you see the Super of Marcel Mayer auto sold for $132,000? Yeah, $132,000. That's way more than like it's almost that's right at J Dom's rate. He would write Dominguez's super's rate.
I think Jason Dominguez's super sold for like $500,000.
Yeah, it was like
$400,000-$500,000.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, it was like four something. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like $450,000. It was on my. I actually did a video recently of the top 15 biggest sales over the last month, and the Dominguez was number 10 over a 1 month period. It was like, you know, like $450,000-$500,000 for that super fractor.
He's well worth it. He's done such a good job at the major league level. Very impressive.
I think he hit 5 home runs in the minor leagues last year.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's crazy.
Vintage OPC baseball is a great value. Frank is on board. He supports your decision, Joe.
There you go.
Yes.
And so does Otto. So does Matt Otto Olson.
What's up? We're down.
Straight execution. No one has taken the title for next face of the league yet in hoops. I think there's a little truth to that. I think the NBA is in that identity crisis mode. Like, who is going to be the guy? Because LeBron can't be the guy. Everyone hates LeBron now. So who's the guy? I think it's going to be Ja Morant or maybe Tatum. But Ja Morant's just the perfect guy. Just I don't know. Highlight reel every night.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's going to win people over.
Yeah. Chicago Sports Spectacular.
Live show stuff's fun. It's cool to see all these guys hanging out.
Rip Razor Raymond.
Oh.
Who's that, guys?
Razor Ramon.
Razor Ramon.
WWF.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the toothpick. You don't remember him?
I never got into wrestling.
I remember him. Yeah. No, it's good.
I was never a nerd. Okay, Fanatics running Monty Club. Different world coming. Might not continue. Very true.
Yep.
I'm shocked none of you in the Monty Club. Yeah, I wonder what happens with Fanatics now. You see Panini has a club for UFC. Looks sweet. I was a fan. Zero Cool. Celebrity Autos, ? Zero Cool is Josh Luber new. Oh, gotcha. Okay, is that the one that Vaynerchuk is involved in? Gary Vee?
Probably.
Okay. I'll check it out. Pretty much Fanatics card. Okay. Okay. Everyone's telling us what's going on.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. So Joey Gallo, I know this was talked about. Is the shift banned? Was that bargained in the new agreement?
That is my understanding. Is that?
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if it's starting this year or not. That's the only thing I'm unsure of. It might be next year, but if it's this year, yeah, it's great for Joey Gallo. It's great for Jose Ramirez, some guys that are hard pull guys.
Yeah.
Yankees lineup is going to be tough, especially when they land Freddie Freeman in a couple of days.
Joe, it's not their hitting. It's just what after Garrett Cole? Is Seve going to be back or not?
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be Jordan Montgomery, hopefully Severino, Hester Cortez.
Now we're hearing the problem now. Now we're hearing the problem.
Is Andujar back? Is he ever going to – I have a bunch of his real one auto rookies graded.
Yeah, he got into some trouble in the DR or something like that. But, supposedly he's okay. He got, robbed. But I think he's okay. So, we'll see.
Next year.
He'll get a shot.
Yeah. Hopefully. Kevin, good point. Giannis could be the face of the league.
Oh, yeah. Giannis, definitely.
Yeah. And honestly, he should be the face of the league at this point. This is a great point. And this is probably the vintage problem that we find is that – younger guys have a hard time connecting with the vintage players. It's not easy to look at Maravich in his super short, tight white shorts and think, I'd rather go collect John Morant. He does a 360 dunk every night.
Right.
I think
when you were a kid, though, you didn't collect vintage, did you? I know I didn't. Now I do. So just as you get older, you get into vintage.
Right. And that's if those people stay in or if they were just in here for the quick flip and the shoe thing and ballooning up basketball a bit. I mean, there's a lot of factors to it, but.
Yeah. Well, I think we said this a couple weeks ago. I think the next wave in vintage is when this current crop of collectors is about 15 years older and they have a lot more disposable income. Yep. Vintage can explode again.
Yeah. We'll probably have another big balloon that we just had because we have all these guys that were in it and they left it and they come back and excited again.
Yeah, exactly. 500K, 49 Bowman. Yeah, that's true. You could buy an entire set for 500K. Holy crap.
Yeah, I could think of a lot of better things you could do than buy a Jason Dominguez for $500,000.
It was quite overpriced compared to other top prospect sales. It was just, I feel like as a Yankee collector, no offense, Joe, just wanting to show his wealth a bit.
I don't get it.
I did say I was never a nerd. I did say that. Ban next year. Man, there's this comet's flowing in here.
I know, it's awesome.
Woo!
Yeah, that's what I thought. The shift's not banned till next year, I think, because it was too quick a notice.
Yeah. So real quick on this, and then we're gonna talk about a question here real quick. Well, and Tyson, you can just stay on. Or this is too good. Okay. As long as you don't have family to take care of. Retail products to pick up. Any of you guys chasing down retail products? Joe, I know that's not really your game normally, right?
Right. Yeah. So I've been having this debate in my head. It's like hopefully this is interesting. But, I want to save for the National, but I also want to buy a box of Bowman Draft. Like the Super is you get 5 autos, but it's $1,000 for a box. And I've been fighting this urge to buy this box for like months now, and it's like it keeps going up in cost, but it would be so much fun because I could open it and I could like look through all the prospects. I probably take hours to sort through all of it, but I've been like, that's not a good way to spend my money. I don't need to spend $1,000 on a box of Bowman Draft. Nice. So anyway,
5 pitchers.
I'm trying not to buy anything.
Yeah. Just for me, the Mosaic Football made it up here. I'm in Canada, so I might have selections a little bit less than you guys at times. So I grabbed a couple pretty gouging in terms of prices. So I didn't go, I didn't clear any shelves or buy a whole cello box, but I really like Mosaic just in all products. I think it's a fun product. So in terms of retail buy, every time I go, I gotta go get toothpaste tonight. So I'll probably grab another box and just be quiet about it.
Hey, honey, we're out of toothpaste.
Yeah.
As you squeeze the toothpaste into the toilet. Yeah. Right. I see how you do this. Yeah.
That's actually
we're not recording this, are we?
I don't know about you guys, but that's sort of how I got back into collecting, was like going into Target and going, being like just seeing a box of, one of those boxes on the shelves and being like, what the hell, let me check it out. And then I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun, opening up, a box of packs. And yeah. then it snowballs from there.
Right. To Ziggy's point, I made the point on I'm helping out with the flagship rookie baseball podcast. We're doing a little baseball on the side. And we talked about the 2020 draft class is on the first and second team for Baseball America was six guys from 2020. I guarantee there's not going to be six guys in 2021. And the price of the boxes is like three times as much as it was last year. So he's 100% spot on. I've been avoiding. I usually get into Bowman quite a bit. I have not touched draft. I've done a couple trying to chase Harry Ford for fun because I'm a Mariners fan, but I have not done much draft this year because of the prices. They've been pretty crazy.
By the way, I think Ziggy, like I'm talking about, like there's like a super jumbo.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a thousand. Like you can, there are much more less expensive. Like
right. The five autos per box.
Right. Yeah. Right. The super duper jumbo is a thousand, but you can get like the sapphire. You can get the sapphire box for like under $400. You know, like a regular three autos, I think it's like 500. But
yeah.
Of course, if I buy it, I have to get like the fucking super jumbo.
Whoa. Family Channel here.
We're live. No.
Gosh, get me banned. Why don't you?
You can bleep that out now.
Sorry, kids. And Ziggy. And Otto. Otto did not need to hear that.
Too much Guinness.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to get some retail boxes at or under retail and regular get parallels I can sell, and it's fun to go for the big hit. Even say, yeah, for sure. I agree. That's actually, I made a comment on Twitter and I got ridiculed for saying this earlier today, but Genesis have been coming out of Mosaic Football like a lot, very often. I think it's good. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but it's like when there's unnumbered short prints. This is what these manufacturing companies can do, right? They can pull the rug out from under you. And all of a sudden there's a bunch more Genesis and it's like, well, they're rare cards. They're rare parallels, right? And it's like, guys.
Well, they're probably staying to the odds tie, if you know how numbers work. So they're probably, you know, cause like, you know, I mean, there's a bigger checklist. There's more product of it. And they also added that honeycomb this year that I think what happened is they kind of pushed Genesis down a little bit in terms of the odds, and honeycomb might kind of be that top non-numbered short print, but definitely I'm with you. I've seen quite a few Genesis for sure, and they're still selling at Genesis numbers, though people are still paying the number for them.
Very true. Yeah, and sometimes it just takes a while. It's like the what year was that when Panini decided to put, was it silvers one per box?
Yeah, and the Mosaic. Yeah,
it was like it was football, and the silvers were super rare all of a sudden, but they weren't carrying a premium because people didn't realize, because they weren't numbered. You didn't realize like they were harder to get, and it took a while for the prices to catch up.
Right.
People that are tuned in pretty well can get ahead of that when they start to see these odds popping up and hit rates are higher. You can avoid pick them up for cheaper.
I just get mad about the base sets being so big. I just rather give me 10 cards for Blaster than tell me there's 30 in there with a checklist of 400. Like I just we all have these boxes of cards back here that we don't really have any desire to do anything with, and I think we cut that part out, I think, a little bit more.
For sure. Okay. 15 more minutes, guys, or less. I want to ask you a question because this question has come up a lot in our comments on recent videos, and you guys are both coming at it from different perspectives. Joe's probably 20 years older than you, Tyson. He's about 30 years older than me. So do you feel like you're reaching a point where you're getting pushed out of the hobby? And I ask that because a lot of people are seeing all these new tech platforms and these new zero cools and all these crazy things popping up, and they feel like their hobby is shrinking. Do you feel like that's happening to you?
So I guess I never felt like I was getting pushed out of the hobby because of technology. Well, in some cases, the hobby's changed so much over the last 2 years. And even for someone that spends so much time in the hobby, it has felt overwhelming. Like just for example, like, you know, I most of my purchases I do on eBay, but even eBay's like just every day they're changing the way that they, it's like I can't even keep up with what eBay's doing. Like they've gotten rid of there used to be like a thing where, you know, if you buy something, you get like, you know, what was it called? The eBay bucks.
Yeah.
You used to get eBay bucks. Then now if you make a purchase, you get 7% sales tax on it, which when like a couple of years ago that wasn't there. Now, if you buy a card that's over $500, it has to get like authenticated. And it's like these weird, like there's just so much, and then you buy the card, you pay all these extra fees that you didn't have to before. Now you want to get it graded and there's nowhere to get it graded anymore. Like if you want to go to PSA, you got to pay $100 a card. And then it's like, if you don't want to go to PSA, it's like, what company do I go with? There's so many new companies that have sprouted up. And then also you start to wonder, like, is eBay even the right place to go anymore? Because there's so many ways to buy cards. There's so many different websites to go to. So, in some ways, and then, of course, there's NFTs, which I don't understand. I've tried to understand it. There's all these digital, cards that are coming out that, like, honestly, like when they fail, I'm kind of happy because I'm just not into that, as much. And I tried, Top Shot, NBA Top Shot. I just didn't get it. I still have some unopened packs in NBA Top Shot because I didn't get it. But yeah, the hobby has changed in NBA Top Shot, and all the NFTs spouted up over the last 2 years. So it's been very overwhelming. So I guess I know what you mean. Like in some ways I do feel like I'm an old curmudgeon that doesn't get, all the changes, and it's hard to keep up with. So I guess I do sometimes feel like I'm getting pushed away in some ways.
And I guess being pushed away was probably the wrong way to say. I think the better way to ask is the hobby. Do you feel like the hobby's passing you by to a certain extent, And you're not a curmudgeon because I'm pretty well tuned into this. And I still feel like I there's something new every day. Or I'm like, wait, what's that? Where'd that come from?
Right.
What about you, Tyson? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, just kind of hearing, like, I think what's happened is we've just seen such a big balloon effect of all these other bells and whistles in the hobby. You can go a lot of directions. I guess for me, I've just been kind of narrowly focused on the cards. So I just, all that other stuff outside of it hasn't really deterred me at all. I haven't experimented with it at all. I just stay to the cardboard. It's kind of been good for me. And I'm a huge fantasy player and a huge, just sports fan. So that stuff's always interests me. So I don't think I'm really ever going to feel alienated in that mindset. Do I feel like I'm missing out on some things? Maybe, same thing with Bitcoin, same thing with all the other types of, money making or different stock trading type things people are doing. I tend to kind of stay away from that. But long story short, I think for me, I haven't. I would say to what Joe was saying about grading's been frustrating because there's just so many streams. You're not sure which way to go. SGC looks good, but it's worth 70% less. PSA takes your cards for a year and they don't give you anything for giving them back so late. It's just there's so many. The grading part's tough because that's how you maximize your value, but there's no clean way to do it right now. And I just think that to me is the only thing that's frustrating me. It's just a collector's that the grading's so complicated.
Sourpuss over here, Frank. I love how you all call this a hobby. This is a business. When you buy with the intention to sell, it's a business. Typical CPA comment. My gosh, just sucking the air out of the room. Well, we love Frank, so it's all good.
I think that's what my wife tells me. I'm not doing the selling part. So touche, sir, touche.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're going to get to some of these comments here in a second. So I think we would all agree that there's a lot more moving parts than usual. Does it feel like that? There's a lot more noise in the hobby than there was 20 years ago. I feel like there's a lot more noise.
Yeah. It's moving very fast. Every day there's somebody new that's coming up with a new idea that is going to impact you in some way. Like some of the ideas are cool. Like I never really understood, group breaks, but lately I've been getting into a couple of group breaks and it is fun, and I never thought I would enjoy it, but it is fun to get into a group break every once in a while, especially if you have a particular guy that you like if you like Ford on the Mariners and you have no interest in spending $1,000 on a super jumbo and you go, okay, well I want the Mariners and I want Ford cards. So then you buy the Mariners for, maybe 50 to $100 for something that would cost you $1,000. And now you get all of the cards from that super. There are some cool things that have come out of it that I really, really like.
And you're explaining it like it's 2005. This is great.
Yeah.
Guys, I just discovered this thing called group breaks.
Well,
I was actually change the title to the show: "Breaking News: Group Breaks Discussed."
Well, I never got into it. And then the other thing that I like, that's again like an old school thing, is like the fact that the hobby is so much popular now is like there's so many shows now that, like, I don't know, a couple of years ago I didn't even know there were still shows going on. And you know, especially around here, and now there's like, if you know what website to go to, there's like a show going on, at least in New Jersey, there's like multiple shows going on around here every single weekend. And that was never the case a couple of years ago. That's my favorite way to buy cards too, is to go to a show, see the card in person, interact with the dealer, negotiate in person. So I don't know. So lots of good things that come out of it.
I guess so. Last question on this topic. Do you feel like lots of noise, hobbies maybe passing you by a little bit, but do you feel like your community that you deal with in the hobby has shrunk or it's gotten bigger?
Well, I think mostly just working with people online, basically through chats and Discords and Facebook and stuff. I feel like the activities declined, but the people are still there. They're still collecting. I do see a little more tension, I think, especially with people. I know a lot of people have been kind of acting out of character because their PSA subs 3-4 months way past what they thought it would be. Different things like that. I've just seen kind of people the bad side, but no, I don't think, all in all, I think for my group's about the same. I just say maybe tensions are a bit higher. So.
Okay. What do you think, Joe?
So, the community has definitely grown. You know, I guess when I think of the community, I think of, like, you know, the YouTube community.
Yeah.
So, and there's, it's been interesting. Like, I do feel like there's been a different kind of collector that's come out of the last year or two. It's been, you know, it's been like more of the, you know, the people, the sneaker heads in some cases that, but I don't think that that's always a bad thing. I kind of like some, you know, fresh perspective sometimes, but has it, you know, for the most part over the last couple, like when I first came onto YouTube, there was nobody. And then about 3 years ago, like, all of a sudden there was like this really awesome YouTube community that got together, and like, you know, and it's been growing if you guys, you know, if you're at the National and you were at the events where people got together, that our YouTube community has exponentially grown. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what it's like, this upcoming year, but I feel like it's grown. But in some ways there are sometimes I feel a little further away from some of the, you know, the connections, just because there's so many channels out there, you know, that it's hard. Like, it's hard to like keep, like, I guess there used to be a manageable amount of people that I would follow. And now there's just so many channels that sometimes I feel like how I can't be at, you know, either I'm only connected to like 5 to 10 channels, or I try to like do a little bit of everything. And sometimes I do a little, you know, some weeks I only focus on certain channels, but then there's other weeks where I try to like see everything and I feel like not as connected in some ways. So.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things now where if someone hasn't put out 50 to 100 episodes, I don't watch their stuff yet because I think they'll probably end up giving up and the channel will be gone. I wait until someone makes it. And then it'll be really good. Not to say that people can't put out good stuff. So my answer to that question on the community, I was thinking about this today, is I feel like my inner circle has shrunk to a certain extent. I've become very selective on the inner circle, and I probably vet out more who I kind of let in the outer circle. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause you can see there's so many people that come in the hobby now, you know, almost immediately what their intentions are. Even in the YouTube community, right? You know, if you get a comment or you get an email from somebody, you know what their intentions are almost immediately. And I just don't have time to have the life sucked out of me. I just don't have time for that anymore.
Am I on the inner circle or just?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure. I just want to see where I stand. You know, the whole meet the Fockers. Am I on the inner circle?
No, I don't mean that. Like, that statement is not meant to be like derogatory towards the community. It's just I feel like you learn who gives you life and who takes away life. In the hobby, that's become very clear in certain people, especially new people entering in for the wrong intentions. But
that approach is life approach. That's not even just hobby. I mean,
very true.
Give what you get for sure.
Very true. Definitely. Okay. A few of these comments here, cause there's some good ones and then we can wrap this thing up. You're right. There's a lot of change going on. So that's probably why he feels like it's hard to keep up. M-Perk, I feel like I'm being pushed out on low-end graded slabs, even parallels and lower pop. Seems like people are buying more on whether they can instant flip versus forecasting performance. Okay. Yeah, don't disagree. Unopened packs. I'll trade for Bowman sealed boxes, Joe. Great comment by Kevin here. Stick with what you know and love and you'll be fine. Fortunately, I got lucky. Well, yeah, got lucky buying most of my favorite vintage cards pre-pandemic.
Good job, Kevin.
Crazy Kev agrees, and he agrees that his name is cool. It's a hobby addiction for me because I don't buy to sell. I buy for high of the chase and sell to get more money. It's called emotion, not logic. I like Ford, Whitey Ford. I've had some fun recently with Whatnot auctions. Either of you guys buy on Whatnot?
I have a little bit of his experiment there with Chris Leroy on my shows, had his own channel. So I've been kind of helping him support that a bit, but it's fun. It's fast acting. Oh man. I don't want to alienate it or feel old, but even I don't know, I'm 37, just turned 37 last week. So I'm like, whoa, this is like every channel is a live feed. It's all over the place. Quick, nice buys. Like it pays for it instantly. It's pretty efficient. It's pretty neat, but it's definitely fast and furious to say the least. So, but I think in Perks was also saying that Whatnot he thought was fun to play with, but it's definitely fun. It's just, I can see it being exhausting. It's quick, but it's great for, you don't have to worry about giving people your PayPal. You don't have to worry about, does a buyer pay? It takes it immediately. There's no messing around. It comes out quick. So even from a seller and a buyer, it's pretty, pretty seamless.
Yeah. I tried it as a seller once. It's not for me. It's definitely not for me as a buyer, but that's the trend and people are liking it. I love the fact that eBay is going to be doing live auctions.
Right.
That to me as a seller where it's like, hey, I can take my current inventory and throw it up in a live auction could be really appealing, but that's neither.
What part didn't you like when you tried to sell Ty? I didn't notice that you tried.
Well, I just don't like having to build a new community somewhere else. That's one thing I don't like. And then second, like when you're by yourself trying to like pitch your items for hours, I'm going to just post it and let somebody buy it when they want to buy it anywhere in the world. You know, like that's more appealing to me.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I definitely see that. But that's a big pull for a lot of them is having the color wheels they spend, the giveaways, to get follows, to build that community, do all that jazz. And I'm kind of with you. I think I'd struggle with that part too, because I'm just promoting myself and promoting and all that stuff. I really struggle with that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Agreed. Show almost every weekend in Nova. Yeah, for sure. There was another comment here about Texas, 600 plus table. That is mind blowing to think about 600 tables at a show.
It's awesome.
We're going to one in Montana, the Tyson and I and Mike will be at it as well. There's going to be 40 tables. And I can't wait to show the world what's going on in Montana.
Tables. Hopefully you can handle it.
Yeah, I know, right? Feeling annoyed more and more by my value modern subs from over a year ago. Went into grading at the beginning of November, looking like it's still going to be another couple of months. Yeah, yeah. Gosh, I'm at 13 months for mine. Don't use Whatnot, but they have a March Madness bracket. You know what? That's a good reason too.
There you go, Ziggy.
Should we start a little March Madness challenge?
Sounds good. I have my first draft tonight. So let's do it.
Draft?
Yeah, my Kentucky teachers that I taught with, they're big into March Madness, and you draft and you get whatever the seed is multiplied by the round they win for points. So it's pretty fun. So my first pick, I took Virginia Tech, 11 seed, you know, they're favored, get 11 points is pretty big because Kansas can't get 11 points unless they win it all. So it's a fun way to do it.
How about this? We toss up your Tom Brady Bowman Chrome rookie, Joe. If Someone has a perfect bracket. You have to give them the Tom Brady rookie.
It's
like the Warren Buffett challenge, right? He did it for years on Yahoo. He gave $1 million to the perfect bracket. No one ever got the perfect bracket.
Yeah. If you fill out a perfect bracket, okay.
We might have to edit this out later.
It's like, I'm doing that for sure.
Yeah, sure. Take it. All right. So we got a counter argument here. eBay has ruined their platform. It's sad. I could never sell in there. Never sold a card in 50 years. Sold it my grandkids. Action them through. It's action. Action them through. That's how Joe would say it. The love of the game. One of three respected actions.
When have I ever talked like that?
That's true. You totally don't talk like that. Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know. I have a hard time hating on eBay right now. That's just me. Gentlemen, go check out Joe's channel, Silver Jackify. You put out insanely good stuff. Stuff that I watch constantly. So yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me hang out, guys. Appreciate it.
Tyson, check out all your stuff. You're on multiple podcasts now, including Behind the Numbers and the flagship baseball podcast, right?
Yes, thank you, sir. Yeah, Behind the Numbers, we'll be doing football season, the offseason. I'll kind of update stuff with draft and free agent signings and whatnot here and there. But I'm going to put out some Bowman prospect stuff over the next week, too, for my channel. I'm going to take a look at the top 100 prospects and just kind of see how they're selling, see if there's some good buys or some sneaky guys that are overvalued. So if you're interested in some prospect numbers, come check it out.
All right, last thought there. Apparently, Ziggy really wants those packs, Joe. So. Jeez. Guys, have a good night. Get some rest. See ya.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, guys.